Okay, good morning, good Erev Shabbos. We are continuing the Ma'aral on Parshas Tzav, and we'll also do a little bit of Parshas Parah, which we're up to as well. So we'll try to share one idea from Tzav, which will be, looks like it'll be a little shorter, you never know. And then Parshas Parah, a very fundamental idea that comes out of the first pasuk in Parshas Parah that we've touched on over the past few months a little bit, but here we'll actually get into it slightly, at least for the first time. Something very, very fundamental. So if you look in source number one, on page number one, you have the psukim in Parshas Tzav. The psukim tell us about the Karban Toda. It's introduced in an interesting way. I think we mentioned this last year when we had the Sfas Emes here. It's introduced in an interesting way. The pasuk says, V'zayis Toras Zevach HaShlamim. It tells us about the concept of the Karban, the Shlamim, which is a gift offering that a person brings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and partakes of. Asher Yakrev LaHashem, that he offers to Hashem, and then the pasuk pivots into Imal Toda Yakrivenu. So Toda is a type of shlamim, but it's just interesting that we say the category of shlamim, then we launch into Toda, and then we come back to the general shlamim. But okay, so that's something the Mefarshim deal with. I think the Sfarno has on this. The Mefarshim do deal with this. But related to that, we'll see the Ma'aral is going to pick up on an interesting twist over here as well. So we introduce the shlamim. And we introduce, based on the shlamim, a type of shlamim, which is the toda. Im al-toda yakrivenu, v'hikriv al-zebach ha-toda, chalos matzos b'luos b'shamin, v'kikim matzos m'shurim b'shamin, v'soz merbeches chalos b'luos b'shamin, al-chalos lechem chamitz, yakriv karbonu al-zebach toda shlamav. So the karbon toda is a type of carbon that we bring that's meat, but with it comes a bunch of bread products. That's not super unique. What's so unique is that this is not only matzah, which is usually carbonos, we don't have any chametz, right? We're allergic to chametz when it comes to the mikdash. There's no such thing as chametz with a carbon, not by menachos in general, except for here and one other place, by Shavuos, we offer carbon that has chametz, but here is a very unique example. There are four types of bread offerings that are brought along with the Karban Toda. Each one is in tens. Three of them are chametz, and three of them are matzah, and one of them is chametz. So altogether, there's 40 loaves, and 10 of them are chametz, but that's very unique. We don't usually have chametz, and that happens over here. So the Ma'aral is definitely going to address that, but he's going to start with something unrelated, seemingly unrelated to that, that it relates to the first point we pointed out. V'amar, if you look in the Drush of Shabbos HaGadol, this Drush of Shabbos HaGadol is gevaldik. It's like so many pages. It's like a big fat book he put out recently. Rabbi Hartman put it out recently from the Ma'aral from a long time ago. And it's a drasha, so it's like it must have been a 10-hour, 11-hour drasha. It's like unbelievable how long people sat there to listen. But it's incredible. Drasha Shabbos HaGadol, so he gets into Karban Pesach, but the way he gets there is through all the karbanos in Vayikra and Tzav, and he's going from Inyan to Inyan in terms of the topics of the karbanos. It's unbelievable. He gives so much depth to all of the karbanos. I think we quoted from it last week as well in terms of the concept of karbanos overall. Karban Chatas, he talks about how the Kohanim Zachila is a kapara for the Bailim. We should talk about that another time, maybe. It relates to Parshas Tzav, but hopefully we'll sneak it in somewhere else. But in that context, he talks about the Karban Toda for a few, I can't call it chapters, but a few sections. So there he says, if you look inside in the second source, in source number one, Amar, the pasuk says, Imal Toda Yakrivenu. If you bring it for a Toda, meaning you bring the carbon as a Thanksgiving offering, what Rashi fills in for us that I didn't put for you here is that Arba Chayav Lahodos, right? You need to bring a Toda, you need to bring Thanksgiving offering to Hashem for four situations that a person goes through. Let's see if we can remember them off the top of our heads. Chola, if a person was very sick and got better, you'll help me out. If not, Yardei Hayam, if someone went into a ocean, they were on a voyage and they got out okay. I'm sorry? A desert, a midbar, exactly. And then also jail. If someone was in jail and they were incarcerated and they were let out, so they say they bring a karban toda, or in our, you know, modern day example, we offer a bracha of berz hagomel. So the amar im al toda yakriven, if you're bringing it for a thanks offering to Hashem, thank you. The ratzal lomar shem mevi el Hashem yisbarach shlamim. You bring to Hashem a shlamim. What is he saying over here? He's just jumping into the middle of a sentence. The Ma'aral is asking, he's implying our question and answering it, correct? He's saying, it says that you bring a toda as the qualification of bringing a shlamim. What do you mean? I thought you bring a toda, not a shlamim. Toda is a type of shlamim, but why do we introduce with a shlamim? So the Ma'aral is saying, no, the karban toda, saying thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by offering karban toda, is a way of offering a karban shlamim. What's the relationship between the two? Why is a toda uniquely shlamim? So he says, Rasul Lamar Shem, maybe Allah Shem Yisbarach shlamim. You bring this karban shlamim, this, what do we call it, a peace offering, let's say? A peace offering to Hashem. Mipnei she'asav lo Hashem yisbarach shalom. Kasher ba'alav tzara, v'yitzi lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'as lo shalom. So the Maharal says that the Todah offering, the thanking Hashem for a nace that he did for you, I was in some tzara, I was in some tight spot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu relieved me of that stress, saved me, gave me Yeshua, salvation from that problem, from that challenge. That's like he made shalom with me, he made peace with me. What does that mean? So the word shalom in general, we're going to get more deeply into this, we interpret it as peace, but what does it really come from? What does it mean, Michael? Shalem. You're not, you called out. I called on Michael. What does it mean? Complete, right? Shalem, exactly. So how do the two relate to each other? So shlemus means that things are the way they're supposed to be with each other. They're interacting properly. They're complete. Lack of peace is when things are not, things are repelling each other, things are getting into each other's space unwantedly, things are conflicting with each other. There's contradiction, there's confliction. But when you have a resolution of conflict, you have shlemus, you have completion. You have things which are operating fully and wholly without getting each other's business, without getting each other's faces. So a tzara, some challenge, being in jail, being sick, being in the desert, being in the ocean, and being at risk of losing one's life, tzara, the Maharal, I believe some of the Mepharshim, I think the Maharal also says, but the Mepharshim quotes him on the bottom, says tzara also comes from the lashon of tzar, tight space. When too many things are in one place, there's no shalom. It's everyone's in each other's business. Everyone's in each other's face. You need to separate a little bit to make shalom. So when someone's in a tzara, they're in a tight spot, they're in a tough space. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu solves that for them. He resolves the issue for them. What happens is he makes shalom. He makes peace for that person. There was a problem, and now there's a resolution. There was something which was incomplete because of the challenges. Now it's complete and functioning properly. It's shalom and it's shalem. So when a person says thank you to Hashem, they're saying, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the shalom that you did for me. There was a stira, there's a contradiction in my life, a problem versus me. You made peace over there. You solved, you resolved that issue. And now there's shalom. So you're saying, thank you Hashem for making peace in my situation. That's why the Karban Todah is uniquely a shlamim. Remember, we started that question. The Maharal is answering that here in a brief line where he's insinuating the question and answering it as well. Says the Maharal, and that explains v'az ha-mitzvah shi'akar v'el Hashem yisbar chametz u'matzah. That's why, specifically, when it comes to the Karban Todah, usually we avoid chametz. Usually we never bring chametz on karbanos. We're allergic to chametz on karbanos. The pasuk says not to bring chametz with the karbanos. V'yesh lishol, the next line, not in the bold, but before the underline. Kevin she'asur Torah chametz b'mincha. We never have chametz by karban mincha. Im kein lamatziva Torah in b'toda in this case. We never have chametz on the mikdash, so on the mishkan, the mizbeach. So why are we doing it over here all of a sudden? That by we're bringing a shlamim, a toda, we're bringing chametz. Shlamim al shem hashalom. A person is bringing a shlamim, a toda, in order to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes shalom, he makes peace, he makes completion. V'hashalom hu hakol. Now we dotted a lot of stuff over here, but the Maharal quotes a bunch of midrashim, Maimir Chazal, and other places where you see very clearly that shalom, and it comes again from the term shlemus, implies entirety, allness, all inclusiveness. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu includes, controls, and puts together everything and created everything. Shalom is osa shalom uvo reyes hakol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates shalom and or by. Through creating everything. Everything is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We sometimes perceive things as contradictory, but really, by Hashem, everything is one. Everything is created as one, and everything can function as one. Shalom means shalim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is uniquely able to create everything. Tov, Ra, Yitzhar, Yitzhar, Tov, all of it. And when we testify to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he makes shalom, we need to include everything in that testimony, because we're showing shalom, that everything is all included. Everything functions together holistically the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. V'hine, kasher asa Hashem Yisbarach elav shalom, more kihu yisbarach bore hakol. We are proving that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates everything, bishlemus. V'hine b'masha bara Hashem Yisbarach hakol, b'zeh yetzahara hu tov. We think of the Yetzer Hara as a bad thing. It is a bad thing. It's objectively a bad thing. A Yetzer Hara is used for the wrong reasons. However, objectively, when you zoom out, when you look at the holistic entirety of the world, it's a pasuk, it's a medrash in Bereishis, based on a pasuk. When you look at the entirety of the world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world which was Tov Ma'od. The medrash says Tov Ma'od. Zoh Yetzer Hara. It also says Zomisa. Zoh Yetzer Hara. When you look at the entirety of creation, obviously the Yetzer Hara is a function. Example, the Yetzer Hara for Arayos is terrible. The Yetzer Hara for Arayos is destructive. It ruins, it's a Yehar V'Yavor, it destroys the Beis Hamikdash. It's a terrible thing. It's also absolutely necessary, or else, as we saw the Gemara says, when you remove the Yetzer Hara for Arayos in general, the Yetzer Hara for Tashmish, there's no more procreation, there's no more families, no more Judaism, no more Jewish people that exist in the world. So it's a terrible thing. Objectively, Yetzer Hara is a terrible thing. But in the grander picture, in the master plan, everything was Tov, everything was good. When you have Shalem, you have Shalom with everything that exists, that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So Chametz represents the Yetzer Hara. Chametz is the negative force in our life. life. We take it out on Pesach because we're trying to live on a higher plane. But when it comes to the Karban Todah, we're saying to Hashem, I had a tzara, which seemed bad. You saved me from it, so now you made shalom, because everything is shalom. All of my life, all of the events really led to this salvation. And therefore we say, and we're going to bring chametz with the matzah for this carbon, because we're saying even the chametz, even the yitzhara, everything that you created, everything in our world is shalom and is bishalom. And therefore, ein laharchik es chametz. We don't remove chametz from this carbon. No, we incorporate the chametz into this carbon because we're showing Kadosh Baruch Hu shleimus, shalem, ashlamim through our Todah. Thank you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, for everything that led to the situation that I'm in now, to the salvation that you afforded me through this nes. If you look in the next source, the Nesiva Gemilas Chasadim of the Maharal, also in the fourth parak, Kasher Hashem Yisbarach Oselo Nes, Morek Hu Yisbarach Echad Be'olamo. He's proving his oneness, his singularity in the world, that he's in control of everything. Umivneshu Echad Osa Be'olam Mashu Rotza V'yachal Al-Kol. Because he's one and nothing else exists, Inon Mavado, Hashem pulls the strings on everything that happens. Ulekach Yesh Lahakar Ve'elav Chametz U'Matzah. Sheroi Lahakar Ve'elav Ha'afachim. Dafka, we should bring opposing forces together, combine them to before our Kadosh Baruch Hu. B'meshu echad, u'mishu echad kol ha'kol. We're saying to Hashem, you're in control. Thank you, Hashem, for saving me. When you save me, I recognize everything is you. The tzara is you. The good thing is you. And you're able to take those opposites and put them together and make shalom. So we offer chametz and matzah, which are opposites, and we say we can bring them together as we testify to your greatness as being the one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Einol Mavado, you bring everything together, that we're displaying that by bringing this carbon. An unbelievable Dvar Torah from the Maharal. Now this reminded me of, and it's obvious that he got it from here, they source it slightly, but not fully. There's a Sefer, beautiful Sefer, one of personal favorites, Noz Desha. You have it in the smaller font here in source at the end of source number one, before two. Noz Desha is a collection of Dvar Torah from, it's not super well known, from the Avni Nezer. It's called an Oz Desha. He says in the Hagdam over here, it's like a grandson of the, a grandchild of the Avni Nezer. It's a boy, but I didn't know if it was a grandson or a great-grandson of the Avni Nezer. He says in the introduction that he didn't call it Avni Nezer or Igle Tal, which are the names of the Sfarim that the Avni Nezer published, because even though this, at least this first volume and some other parts, are Ksav Yad, they're actually what the Avni Nezer wrote down when he was saying Shal Shudas Torah. He wrote notes. So it actually is from his writing. He did write these things, but he didn't publish it. He didn't write it down for publishing, so he didn't feel comfortable naming it like his other Sfarim. But this is, we're looking at, you know, the writing of the Avni Nezer as well. So he has a Dvar Torah here in Parshas Emor. In the introduction as well, he points out that he was very careful in the footnotes to make sure whenever he could, he would source the Maharal. Because if you go back in history, we learned last year the Sfas Emes all year. The Sfas Emes also, this line of Chassidus, very much relied on the Maharal as like the Av, as like the source of a lot of their ideas. The Maharal was the Kabbalah ideas put into their Lashonos, and they used them in terms of concepts that they put forward in terms of their Chassidus. So they relied very heavily on the Maharal. So he says that in the footnotes, he's going to try as hard as he can to point you where the Maharals are that the Avnei Nezer was based on, because he has a line there like almost everything that the Avnei Nezer said was based on the Maharal, something along those lines. B'yoser hisrakazdi, I focused especially al tzion dimyon im devrei Maharal miprag, to point out where the Maharal miprag says similar ideas, b'yad enu, because I know, we know, kama hayu svarav shkurim bepiv, that's what he says in Nakdama, how much the Avni Nezer was focused on and was constantly talking about the Maharal. So here, they kind of were mitzayin the Maharal before this, but not on this point, and I think it's obvious this comes directly from the Maharal. So the Avni Nezer asks a really interesting question. In Parshas Emor, we have three psukim in a row that seem to have no connection, but they're all in a row. You have it in the source in front of you. Oso bas beno lo sishchutu b'yom echad, you can't shecht a mother and its child animal on the same day. V'chisiz b'chuzevach tod l'Hashem, that you should check the Karban Todah in the proper way. By Yom Ahuya Yachel, you have to eat the Karban Todah on that day. You can't eat a Karban Todah over 2 days. It's only one day for eating. And then the next pasuk in Parshas Emor says, immediately after that, don't do Chil Hashem, yeah, do Kiddush Hashem, which means give up your life for certain cases of mitzvos. What is the connection between these three things that go all in order? So he says a pretty unbelievable pshat over here. He says the reason why you have to make sure you don't shech two animals in one day, the two animals that are related to each other, the mother and the daughter, and the mother and son, in the same day. So we're not going to get into the specific reason for this, but basically what he says is that yom is the concept of echad. One day is one idea, one concept, one unified unit of a day. And you don't shech the two animals in the same day because that would be a destruction of the family in that day. We're not getting into the time of mitzvahs here. Just realize the day thing means that it's a one unit and therefore it shows the unification. Says the Avni Nezer, but it's clearly come from Amral. He says that's why the Karban Todah comes right after that, because the mitzvah of the Karban Todah is to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu his achdus, to show the achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzvah Achilas Todah, the Yom Echad, the reason we eat it on one day, not spread out over 2 days, is Machmas Shemoral Achdus Hashem.
It shows the unification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the singularity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dafka yochal biyom echad machmas ki hayom kula makusher. It's one day, one inyan. You can't separate. Vim yosir lemachar. If you would leave over the carbon totem the next day, yoral hashnius rachman otzlan chas v'shalom. It would show some sort of duality by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The carbon totem is all about showing that Hashem is one, which is the concept the Maharal just told us, right? The carbon totem is about showing Hashem is one through chametz u'matzah. Okay, says the Avni Nezer, the same thing is true about the day. Having one day to eat it, not 2 days, shows the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, that's the idea of Kiddush Hashem as well. Because generally speaking, we would think that a person can't give up their life for anything. You have to protect your life. But if you assume that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only thing that exists, then it's not giving up your life. You're just being mevatel yourself to Him. There's only a HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists. We're nothing compared to Him. So when it comes to Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, when a person's giving up their life for Torah, for a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Yichud Hashem. That's showing the achdus of Hashem, that nothing else exists. Our life only exists within Hashem. So all of these three psukim that seem unrelated at first glance are all about achdus Hashem, all about the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We display that through the carbon toda, chametz u'matzah, as the Maharal told us. Avni Nezer tells us also the one day of eating. And we display that by not shechting the mother and the son on the same day. And we display that by giving up our lives for Kiddush Hashem. It shows the achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the carbon Pesach is uniquely about achdus as well. You'll look at I think I put a line here. Also, we have no chametz in the Karban Pesach, but we do have matzah and mar. Matzah represents geula, and mar represents the shibud, the slavery. So there too, we combine the opposites and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's one God. On the Nes of Pesach, the Nes of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, there was a one Ribbono Shel Olam that gave us a shibud and gave us a geula. It's all you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all one. That's what Karban Toda represents, that's what the Karban Pesach represents as well. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Uniquely communal, yeah. The Toda is so... Exactly, yeah, the Nitziv points that out, right? That it's impossible to consume that much bread at once, which is why the Torah made it a command of so much bread, because it wants you to include everyone, because it wants you to be mefarsim, to publicize the Nes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the oneness of Hashem, and so too with the Karban Pesach, it has to be bechabura, with a group. Makes sense. We're trying to teach this idea to the community, right? We're trying to show this idea to the public. Okay, in source number two, we're reading Parshas Parah. So the Maharal has a lot. We referenced little bits and pieces in Tiferes Yisrael in the beginning and going on about Taimei HaMitzvos, the reasons for mitzvos in general. So here is where literally a strong part of his argument, the crux of his argument, really comes to the fore in Perek Ches, in the eighth Perek, and it's based on the Pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Chukas. The Pasuk says that we offer the paraduma in order to purify people from tumas meis. So the Medrash recounts that there was a guy who asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, "You guys look like a bunch of sorcerers. What are you doing? You're shechting an animal. You're burning it. You're throwing the ashes. You're throwing some. This is like this is magic. This is sorcery. What are you guys, a bunch of black magicians? Like we don't believe in this stuff. And I mean, you don't believe in this stuff. So why are you doing this?" So Rabbi Yochanan said back to him some answer, like clever answer, like, "Yeah, when you see a shade take over your friend, what do you do?" He says, "Oh well, we light a fire under him. We smoke him out, and then we sprinkle water on him, and it works. It gets rid of the shade. It gets rid of the demon." So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Good, that's what we're doing also." So when the guy leaves the house, the Talmidim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, say, okay, that wasn't the real answer, obviously. Rabbi, tell us what the real answer is. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responds, if you look in the bold, in the small font, in source number two, you guys, you pushed them off lightly. What's the real answer over here? How does the paraduma work? Amar lahem chayechem lo hameis metame. A mace doesn't make someone tame. Veloha mayim mitarim. And water doesn't fix it. That's not how it works. It's not real. Ela amar kadosh baruch hu chuka chakati gzeira gazarti. Iatarashai laavor gzeira osai. Zos chukas hatorah. Tuma is not a scientific reality. Tuma is not a physical property of a person. And taira, going to a mikvah and being matira, or the paraduma being matira, is not a physical thing. It's not a scientific reality. That's not what we're talking about over here. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a mitzvah, a gzeira. He said a decree that when you're tamei mace, when you come in contact with a mace, that's called tuma. And when you want to get out of that, you do the paraduma, and that's called taira. That's called becoming tahor. That's it. It's a gzeira of Hashem. There's no questions and answers as to how it works. It's not a scientific process. That was his answer. So the Maharal here uses this as the basis for his thesis, which is very important, and argues on Rishonim, or at least it seems to argue on Rishonim. If you look at the end of this first paragraph, Kamosha Chashvu Ksas B'nei Adam,
Just to clarify who Ktsas Bnei Adam is, like a few guys on the street, no, it's the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam and Nevuchim, the Ramban, in his Perish Al Torah many times. Ki HaTorah Asr Ma'achal Sassuras M'Pnei Shem Molidim Mezeg Ra. That some of the Rishonim claim that the reason why certain Ma'achal Sassuras are Asr, Of Tamei and Bas B'Chalav and things like that, is because they create within us a bad spirit. Like eating these foods can make you have a bad midos, bad temperament, and bad things can happen to a person from eating them. It's like health concerns, basically. V'chei Nasnu Tam B'dam V'cheilev. So the Maharal says, again, we're going to come back to this. He's not saying they're wrong. He's not saying that eating these foods is good or healthy. He's just saying that is not the reason they're usher. It's not that they were unhealthy and therefore the Torah said don't eat them. That's not true. And he's going to give a line over here later where he says otherwise the Torah would just be a book of refuah, a book of medicine. It would be an encyclopedia. No, the Torah is more than that. The Torah is kedusha. And it can't be that the reason for these yisurim is because they cause problems in a person's bloodstream or anything like that. He quotes Chazal who say that in its mesem bam, that when you eat ma'achal sasuros, forbidden foods, so you become, you get timtum alev. It ruins your insides a little bit. It ruins your nature a little bit. But he points out that Chazal don't say that the food ruins your nature. Chazal said the avera ruins your nature. And from that he develops the point, if you turn to the next page, that the idea of isurim is not that these things are unhealthy and therefore they're usser. Listen to this. The idea of isurim is that these things are usser and therefore they're unhealthy. Meaning, the way the Torah works, the Rav talks about this in a very different way. I'm not claiming the Rav and the Maharal were you know, talking about the same thing. Definitely we're not talking the same language. But Isha Halacha is built on this premise where the Rav explains, and here the Maharal is explaining in his words, that we think of the Torah, because we're so thick and we're so tethered to this world, we think of the Torah as addressing our realities. The Torah was given to address a human reality. It's not true. The Torah is the objective reality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mistakel baraisa, looked in the Torah and created a world that's a mirror image that mimics that Torah. And therefore, when we keep halacha, we're not saying that the halacha is applying to our life. We're saying we're trying to apply ourselves to the halacha. Do you understand that? There's a seichel, there's an overall seder to the world that's based in the Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam looked in the Torah and created the world based on the Torah. We're trying to live up to that halachic reality. Halacha is an ideal system, the way the Rav says it. Ideal, not like a person who's idealistic. Ideal milashon idea. That it's a system of ideas. It's an objective reality that exists outside of our physical world. Our physical world is just trying to merely live up to and apply ourselves to that halachic reality. The Maharal says something very similar over here as well. You can't say the Torah assered bad, forbidden foods because they're unhealthy. That's not how the Torah works. The Torah assered these foods and therefore it may have an impact on your health. Because you're leaving the Seder HaDvarim. Because when you eat these foods, when you partake of Isurim, you're exiting the Seder Sichli of the world, that intellectual, spiritual mold that we're supposed to live within, you're leaving it. Therefore, it might cause some issues in your life. Not the opposite. Not the issues therefore make the Isser, but rather the Isser makes the issues. It's an unbelievable idea to sit on, to dwell on. And again, it's worth reading what the Rav wrote about regardless, but also in light of this Maharal, the two do link up very nicely in some level. If you look in the next paragraph with the underlines, you see this idea that we just spelled out, that when a person keeps Torah and mitzvos, they're attaching themselves to Ribbono Shel Olam, they're attaching themselves to Sichlius, and therefore they will be healthy. If a person leaves the system of Torah and mitzvos, they're leaving the system by which they're created and which they're designed to try to live up to, and therefore as they leave the system, there will be negative impacts on their health, on their life, etc. And this, by the way, is the root of something much more major in the Maharal's thought. We're not going to get into it, but if you look in the indented smaller font over here, you know, the Torah tells us that there's a reason for a rainbow. What's the reason for a rainbow? It's a bris, it's a covenant, right? Hashem says, I'm never going to destroy you again. The Torah says that. Chazal understand it to be literal, that Hashem is saying, there's a bris, I'm never going to destroy you again, and that's why a rainbow happens. So scientists said, what are you talking about? A rainbow doesn't happen because of that. Why does a rainbow happen? Yeah, reflection, refraction, refriction, whatever it's called. So there's a bunch of light, and then there's a bunch of water, and when the light goes through the water, it makes a rainbow. That's why rainbows happen, correct? So if I ask you why rainbows occur, the answer is because after it rains, there's moisture in the air, it's running through the atmosphere, which has light and air, and the refraction of the... I should be the doctor here. The refraction of the... I'm a few classes away from it. I'm not there yet. The refraction of the light creates this rainbow, separates the colors. That's why rainbows happen. So Chazal are wrong? The Torah is wrong?
No, but you're saying.
So the Maharal says, you can ask why on two levels. You can ask why something happens and answer with science. But when you ask why science is that way, you come to the Siba that's Al HaTeva, that's beyond Teva. They're not wrong, the scientists. They're just content with a basic answer.
Yiddishkeit wants to go a little bit deeper and say, yeah, but why did the Ribbono Shel Olam set up the world that way? It's not true that science dictates what happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates what science dictates will happen. That's a klal in the Maharal in general, and it's a very important klal, but it's based on the same idea that we're talking about now, no? That even though it might be true that the reality is that if you do X, Y, and Z, it leads to X, Y, and Z on a health level, that's not why the Torah assert it. You're getting it backwards. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, assert something, and therefore, it has an impact on our lives. Because the real objective reality starts with the Torah. The real objective reality starts by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only then comes down to us. In the trickle effect, afterwards, it comes down to us. Okay, so that's the idea the Maharal is saying up here. With that, he understands that, you know, it happens to be that there are cases where Isurim are mutter. You're not allowed to eat pig. You're not allowed to eat treif. But if you're, the whole Klal Yisrael was at war in the 7 years of Kibush, they were allowed to go into the houses and eat the things that were there, even though they weren't kosher. What do you mean? It makes bad nature in a person. It gives you sicknesses. It's not good for you to eat these things. No. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, it's usher in this case, and it's mutter in that case, which means it'll cause issues in this case. It won't cause issues in that case. The Torah wants batim leim tov, kol tov. The Torah wants that you should go into the houses and fress on all their food. And therefore, it's not problematic to eat that food. It starts with the Torah. It doesn't start with the feelings and the health. It starts with the Torah. So then if the Torah says it doesn't start, it doesn't start. It's not an issue. Last, we'll end with this. I know we're at the end. If you look at the last paragraph before the last paragraph, right, the underlines over here, ulefikach, it just adds such a chizik to what we're doing. Ulefikach adam asher yeshlo nefesh alokis. If you think of the Torah as a health guide, then it's a very natural way of living. But when you start to realize, no, the Torah is the objective reality, and health mirrors that, represents that, then it gives you a higher plane of living as well. Ulefikach adam asher yeshlo nefesh alokis. We have that divine spirit inside of us. The omedes bechomer, but it's stuck. It's embedded in physicality, al yedei mitzvos hasichlios halokios, when you realize mitzvos are above that. Mitzvos are from another plane, from another world, not a health guide, but rather the health that we experience is through the Torah and the mitzvos. But the objective reality beyond our physicality is the Torah. Then kasher udavik bahem ve'ososam, when you do mitzvos, hu davik bo yizbarech. Umotziem es nafsho min ateva. We're literally uplifting ourselves from teva by doing mitzvos. If you assume that mitzvos are usher and mutter because they lead to health and illness, then you're just living your natural physical life through mitzvos. But if you realize, no, our health and our life and our physical reality, our scientific reality, comes from Torah and mitzvos, then when we try to attach ourselves to Torah and mitzvos, we're extending ourselves. We're surpassing. We're going above and beyond teva. We're becoming more spiritual through mitzvos. It's an unbelievable thought to infuse our mitzvos, our Torah observance, with meaning. Lastly, and with this we'll end, the very last Maharal on the page, in the Chidush HaGadol on Maseches Shabbos, the Gemara says that if a person tries their hardest to do a mitzvah, but an onus happens and they're forced not to be able to keep the mitzvah, we still give them schar for doing the mitzvah. The Torah assumes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu assumes, it's as if you did the mitzvah. What does that mean? That doesn't work with a court date. Right, I wanted to be there and I didn't make it in time. Doesn't work with filing taxes. So why does it work with Torah and mitzvahs? You know what the answer is? Mitzvahs were never about physical actions. Mitzvahs are darva sichli. It's about connecting to something beyond us. If a person tries their hardest with their seichel, with their ruchanius, with their spirituality, with their intellect, to connect to the mitzvah, and it just happens to be the goof doesn't get to the mitzvah because some real onus happens. You can't therefore sleep late. You can't say, I really want to go to Shacharis and set your alarm for 10 o'clock. But if something happens and you don't make it to that mitzvah physically, but you still warm a kai in the mitzvah with your seichel. And at the end of the day, the physical expression of the mitzvah is just that. It's just the physical expression. But the root of the mitzvah, the core of the mitzvah, is the davar sichli. The davar gashmi, the physical thing, didn't happen. Okay, but the main factor, the core of the mitzvah, was mekuyam. You did fulfill the essence of the mitzvah, which was the davar sichli, connecting that thing above and beyond ourselves and our bodies. That's a conception of mitzvahs that comes from Parah Adumah, that the Maharal spells out over here, that it doesn't come from us, from our time and from our reasons that we have over here. Those might be true afterwards. But the Torah starts, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts with a gezerah, with a chok. Every mitzvah ultimately is a chok. And through that, we live meaningful lives, and also hopefully healthy lives through keeping the Torah mitzvahs. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.